This is the SF Signal Podcast. I'm your host. My name is Patrick Hester. I am an author, a blogger, and an all-around functional nerd. Tonight, I am talking with Amelie from... Basically, you're an author, but you're also going to be at Mile High Con. And this is one of my Mile High Con interviews. Mile High Con is from October 23rd through the 25th. And the nice folks over there, specifically Rose, who is wonderful, actually sent me an email and said, hey, would you help us promote Mile High Con this year? And I absolutely said yes. And Amelie was one of the people that I picked from a list, and she was kind enough to say yes. So Amelie, why don't you tell people who you are and what you do?
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me, Patrick. It's great to be here. So I'm Amelie Howard. I am a young adult fantasy and science fiction author. Well, my first book was Bloodspell, which is Witches and Vampires. You know, that was a time, it was about 5 years ago. I'm also the author of the Almost Girl series, which is about a girl super soldier from a parallel universe who comes to Earth to find a mysterious boy, and only to find that this boy is the key to both their universes. I'm also the author of the Aquarathi series, which is think underwater dragons, kind of my twist on mermaids. And those books are Waterfell and Oceanborn with Harlequin Teen. And lastly, my last book was Alpha Goddess, which is about a reincarnated Indian goddess. So I went with sort of East Indian mythology. And that book was an IndieNex pick last year, which is where the bookstores in the United States vote for it to be on a list. I was very proud of that. It was also a Best of Voya 2014 for science fiction, fantasy, and horror.
And there's so much stuff, and my head's exploding. And awesome. you grew up on a small island, and I'm curious, was it in the Caribbean or the Caribbean?
Well, where I grew up, we say Caribbean, and here we say Caribbean, so both are fine.
Well, and I met several years ago at World Fantasy, I met Tobias Mikkel, who also grew up in the Caribbean.
Oh, cool.
And you know, that really has informed his fiction. And the things that he writes, is the same true for you?
I think from a diversity perspective, just living in, you know, such a diverse area of the world with a lot of folklore and a lot of mysticism, I think it has influenced my writing some. But, you know, I haven't written anything that's, say, Caribbean-like literature, you know? I think at some point I will. I have this literary book in my head somewhere to write about my experiences moving from a tiny little country to go to school at Colby College in Maine, you know, and talk about that a little bit.
Well, what I'm curious is, so you grew up there on the islands, and then, and what is it, Trinidad and Tobago?
Yeah, Tobago, yeah.
Tobago. Tomato. You say oyster, I say oyster.
That's right.
I'm not going to stop eating oysters. No, Now I'm quoting Harry Connick Jr. But you 25 countries.
Yep.
And how do you end up, I mean, how do you go from there to 25 countries to Colorado?
You know, okay. So, I mean, I grew up on this island. It felt like small, like little tiny town where everybody knew everyone. And I just wanted to be anonymous and just get out into the big wide world. I've always had a fan, I've always been a huge fan of traveling. My family did a lot of traveling when we were growing up. And, you know, I went to school in France for a few years, and, you know, I went to college in Maine. That was to run away from my mom, and it's kind of ironic because I've returned to Colorado just to be near my mom now. So, you know, full circle. But the majority of the traveling that I did was actually with my previous job before I became a full-time writer, which was in telecommunications. So I did travel all over the world with my company, you know, doing data communications.
Gotcha. Okay. So yep. Are any of your characters a data communications person who's traveling the world?
No, but some of them are totally nerdy. So, yeah. I've definitely sort of delved in my travel experiences. You know, like Bloodspell, for example, takes place in Maine, Paris, and New York. So kind of, you know, I like to write from a point of authenticity. So if I've been there, it sort of, I think it comes through in the work.
Very cool. And you're going to be at Mile High Con this year.
I am going to be at Mile High Con, and I'm so excited. I was there last year, and it was a wonderful event, met really great people. That's kind of like that's my peeps. So, you know, awesome. I just felt really comfortable going there and chatting with people about science fiction and fantasy and being able to share sort of my writing stories and, you know, talking to people who were readers, who want to become writers, who want to become published. So it was great.
Were you
Rose does an amazing job.
She does. She absolutely does. And I, you know what? I have nothing but respect for the people who put on programming at any convention, because it's definitely herding cats.
Yeah, no kidding. And I mean, it's just, you know, making sure you touch on everyone's interests, you know, because mm-hmm. it's so varied. You know, people look at us, and I say us like, you know, just like the nerds, like, you know, these people who are like go to science fiction and fantasy conventions, but it's so wide. The breadth of it is huge. It's not just Harry Potter and Doctor Who and, you know, Star Wars. It's way more than that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So last year, did you come to the Friday night author mixer?
I think I had a previous event. So I was there for Saturday and Sunday, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I was at the author mixer. Okay. Was it awesome?
Yeah, you should come. It's every year.
I shall be there.
You should come, yes. So do you have any ideas of what you're going to be doing at Mile High Con?
I am not sure because I haven't seen the final schedule, but I'm hoping it's going to be a little bit of workshopping. Last year I talked about, I did a really great panel. I did a bunch of panels, but my favorite was just talking about diversity in fiction and science fiction, which was awesome. And, you know, just talking about writing in general. I also did a really fun little survival workshop thing with a bunch of teenagers and their parents. And it was fantastic. It was pretty much just like, how do you, you know, start a book idea or a story idea in a what-if scenario? So like, you know, for example, with my waterfowl series, what if there was this secret species of underwater alien living in the deepest part of our oceans? Because we don't know what's down there. I mean, James Cameron took a trip down there and it's like, we're discovering so much stuff.
I'm confused. What do you mean, what if?
Right. Well, that's exactly my point. The what if was there is. And that was the species I invented, which was the Aquarothi. And they're, you know, basically living in hiding. And of course, there's this other faction within their species that says, why do we have to be in hiding? Why shouldn't we just take this world from the humans? They don't deserve it. They're killing their, you know, oceans. So, yeah, a little bit of a social commentary in there on ocean conservation.
Sure. That's awesome, though. And you mentioned diversity in science fiction, so that means different things to different people. What does it mean to you?
For me, diversity in science fiction, particularly, you know, with respect to like Alpha Goddess, which I wrote about, and that's more fantasy than science fiction, but it's sort of two-faceted because on the one hand, Alpha Goddess is about East Indian mythology. And when you think Greek mythology, you think about Greek mythology. That's what I think of.
Sure.
And I wanted to kind of use a little bit of my background to write about something that had like 500 million gods. Wouldn't that be exciting to like write about this god and that god and the wars between them and the fight for, you know, the mortal plane? And that's sort of the whole premise of Alpha Goddess. But on the other side, diversity in science fiction or fantasy is awesome because you can use sort of, you know, the world that we live in to build whole societies on different planets that you've just invented in your head. I mean, in my world building, I always want to have a diverse, wide, different type of society. And I mean, you see it in like in Star Wars, right? Everyone doesn't look the same. They're all different from different planets.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we can sort of pull from our own diverse sort of social structure today to build our own world building in science fiction. I was kind of rambling, but
No, that's perfect. That I understand exactly what you're talking about.
Awesome.
So and you talked about mythology, and I've talked about this before on the show. I obviously don't expect you to know this, but you know, when we're done, obviously I expect you to go back and listen to all 200 and something episodes.
I'm totally going to do that.
But in the past, I've talked about it growing up, the things that really engaged me in school and the teachers who were smart enough to figure it out was mythology and was, you know, science fiction and fantasy. They figured out those are the things that I would read and would ravenously read. And so those are the kinds of things they would give me. And one of the earliest things they gave me was Bulfinch's Mythology.
Mm-hmm.
But they focused on Greek and Roman.
Yep.
And I think that's just a Western thing, right? It's like for whatever reason, we focus on the Greek and Roman mythology, but there's so much more out there.
So much more. And it's so interesting. And I mean, at some point when you start delving back, you know, behind the layers, they're all connected. Mm-hmm. All these stories are connected in some way, whether it's, you know, I don't know, moral compass or different things that they do. They're all connected. You have a goddess of fertility in Greek mythology, you have a goddess of fertility in, you know, East Indian mythology. You know what I mean? It's fascinating.
It is. Yes. And I remember I am going to actually go a little bit further back. Probably in 2000, 2001, I was living in Knoxville, and I went into this little bookstore off of the University of Tennessee, and it was this old bookstore, and they had all this stuff, and they had Irish mythology, and I don't know a lot about my Irish heritage. So I grabbed it. And as I'm going through it, all of a sudden I'm seeing all this stuff that ties to like books and movies and things I've seen about fairies.
Right. Absolutely. And I mean, Celtic mythology, yeah, and the like runes. I'm fascinated with stuff like that as well. My friend actually is, she publishing a book on Egyptian mythology, and I'm excited, ooh, to read it.
I love, yeah, it's Egyptian Pauline mythology. Howe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she's a great writer.
In high school, I got into Latin, believe it, because I'm a nerd, of course. So given the opportunity to take a foreign language that could actually help me in life, no, I took Latin.
Yeah, nice.
And part of...
Hey, so I should come to you when I'm making up my spells.
Oh God, please,
for
no.
My, you know, for my vampire witch book. I should... Hey, Patrick, give me some spells in Latin.
But what's funny is part of that was we did study Egypt, and then that's when I got into Egyptian mythology, which is also very cool and rich and diverse, and there's so much going on there.
Right.
So that's amazing. And when at Mile High Con, was that your first year?
It was my first year, yeah.
Okay, so now you've gotten that over with, you can relax, you can have a little bit more fun, you can come to Rocky Horror.
Totally. I was waiting for you to continue because it sounded so awesome, everything you were talking about. Like, keep going, man. Tell me what I should be at. I'm taking notes.
Well, I'm curious. Did you sign up to do like Author Alley and sign some books?
Yes.
Okay,
absolutely.
Awesome. Are you going to have books there?
Plan to.
Awesome. So if someone wants to come and get it signed.
Sorry, I think there's a bookstore. So I have to talk to, I think it's Dan. I forget his name. They have a bookstore in the little shopping.
In the dealer's room.
Dealer's room. That's, yeah, it.
Okay.
So I got to talk to him, and I'll have a few books there as well.
Awesome. So, but the point is people can come there. They can see you, meet you, shake your hand, and get a signed book.
Absolutely. And I'm going to have my kids as minions standing in the front.
Nice.
And, you know, forcing people to come talk to me. I won't do that. I just put them all in the TARDIS last year.
Well, I actually know the owner of the TARDIS.
You do?
I do. Yes. That's Peter.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. He brings that, I think, every year.
I really want one of those.
Don't you?
And I want it to work. And I want my boyfriend to be a Time Lord. Sorry. Okay, I'm totally like, you know, going off on a tangent now.
That's okay. That's okay. Now, the only thing is, which one do you want him to be?
Aha. That is the question. I'm not answering that because I was just at a convention earlier this year, and I said one of the guys, and they were like, that guy? No, he's terrible. I love Peter. Leave me alone.
That's hilarious. So when did you decide that you didn't want to travel anymore? You didn't want to do the telecommunication stuff. You wanted to sit down and start writing.
You know, I mean, I was actually published when I was 12 years old.
Wow.
I had some poetry published, and I always thought I wanted to be a writer. I won like a Commonwealth writing competition when I was 15. And, you know, I mean, my love for science fiction and fantasy started then because it was a story about a man, a grandfather who communicated through his violin through a weeping willow to his dead daughter. I mean, it was just really random. And I was 15 years old, you know. Of course, I got a lot of inspiration from like Grimm's fairy tales. Those are the books that I read, C.S. Lewis, Lord of the Rings,
sure,
those kinds of books. But, and then I went to school. When I went to college, I actually had a professor who, she was a substitute. I don't think she was part of the English department. And I was there on an academic scholarship. So I was told that, you know, if I wrote this piece, and she said, if you want an A in this class, you're going to have to change sort of your voice. And I felt, oh my God, I'm 18 years old. My voice must really suck. So I kind of gave up on myself. And so if I could go back and speak to 18-year-old me, I'd be like, don't give up on yourself. So basically what I'm saying in a long-winded way is that I came full circle when I started reading a lot of YA science fiction and fantasy. And I read Twilight, and I sort of, you know, I know people are love-hate with Stephanie Meyer, but I read those books and said, oh my gosh, I've like been dressing up as a witch and a vampire my entire life for Halloween. And I'm so envious right now. And I kind of said, you know what, you better put up or shut up. So I got my laptop out and started writing, and it was a terrible, horrible, need to be buried first draft, but I did it. And eventually, I mean, that book went through years of editing before it even, you know, saw the light of day. So, you know, it took me a while, but I'm doing what I love.
You can't see me nodding, but I'm nodding.
Yes. Awesome. We all, us authors, we're like, we know the struggle is real.
It is. And it can be daunting. Now, the interesting thing for me is you mentioned YA, and that's what you're writing. Mm-hmm. And YA tends to be very open and accessible to all ages of readers.
Absolutely.
And there's no restrictions. You can almost do anything and it's okay. You can do science fiction. You can do fantasy.
Right.
You can do vampires. Right. You can do aliens.
Yep.
It's all that. And it sounds like you're doing all of that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of writing what I love to read.
Sure.
And I love movies. So my writing tends to be quite cinematic. Like I'm very visual. So I will incorporate anything I love into. So like, you know, for example, The Almost Girl, which is about this, like I said, the girl super soldier. I mean, it was loosely based on Serenity and, oh gosh, why am I skipping on her name? I'm thinking Riven and it's like, what was her name? The girl.
You're talking,
come on.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. You're talking about Summer Glau's character.
Yeah. All I'm thinking is my character whose name is Riven and that's all I have in my head right now, but she was based on her.
Gotcha.
I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna get it in like a second.
I'm gonna let you.
Yeah. Okay. That second's gone. Darn it! I set an impossible limit for myself.
Well, I think
Google?
I think you're also you might be going down the River Song
path. I am.
Well, you said Riven, and then you said Riven Song.
Oh gosh, Rivendell, what's happening?
River.
River. Oh my God. You're so good. That's her name. You knew that. You were just messing with me. You're so mean, Patrick.
Well, I think you were doing the Doctor Who thing and you were going River Song and you mentioned Riven.
Yeah.
And then you went away from River.
I went away from River.
Yes.
Gosh, I'm so ashamed.
That's okay.
I'm good. I'm not ashamed. I'm good. I should be obsessed with my own character.
You should be, yes.
Nice.
So anyway, you were talking about all the different things you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So you're taking all these different things that you love to read and you love to watch.
Yep.
And you're writing stories about them.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
So if a listener right now, I always like to do this to authors and then they go, oh my God, you're putting me on the spot. If a listener right now says, wow, I love what she's talking about and I want to read something of hers. Where should they start?
Because I write so many different things. If you're into science fiction, I would say definitely the Almost Girl series. If you're into more fantasy and not necessarily mermaids, but you know, just lighter, fluffier fiction, probably the Waterfell and Oceanborn books. And if you're looking for alternate mythology, definitely Alpha Goddess. And if you're a vampire and witch lover, you know what? Bloodspell was a number one Amazon bestseller. So
wow.
People must have liked it for a reason.
Yeah.
I hope.
Exactly. So I did have a question. What does it mean to be a PADI certified deep water scuba diver?
It means that I can go scuba diving by myself, even though I won't ever do it because it's best to go with a buddy. So you have to get PADI certification just to be able to wear a, you know, the tank and go underneath all the gear and the regulator and stuff. So I've been diving. I've been diving in the Bahamas. I've been diving on Amelia Island. I've been diving in a bunch of different places around the world, in the Caribbean as well. I actually saw a 5-foot barracuda one time and I pushed my husband in front of me, you know, because he needed to dive first if it came at us. Because I remembered I had some like jewelry on, some earrings on. I'm like, oh my God, it's going to kill us. It was pretty scary. I mean, that thing was just sitting there, like just like dead still in the water. And I mean, it wasn't a log. You could see it. You could see the teeth.
I'm just imagining the conversation after. What was that all about? Well, I don't have to run faster than it, just faster than you.
Exactly. He totally got it. He's like, you have issues. I'm like, you are more of a meal than I can be. I'm actually saving you because once it ate me, it would come to eat you afterwards. Still.
So I actually had friends who there's the Sea Lab in in the Keys.
Oh, cool.
And they got married in that thing.
Oh, fantastic. Wow.
So they were huge divers. They loved it.
I'm recreational. I haven't been in a really long time, but you know, it was one of the things like when I got married, that's, you know, we just did things together and it was awesome. Like, so we got certified together and, you know, we travel a lot together and we don't write together. He's just not, yeah, it's not his thing.
Sure. And 179 cities though.
Yep.
That's crazy.
You know, it adds up. Like, I mean, you know, for my previous job, I had to travel a lot. I mean, my clients were like, you know, the big telecommunications companies. So I went all over the world. I mean, I worked for British Telecom and Global Crossing, so they're all like big international presence. So I was lucky that I was able to travel with them.
And when I traveled for a job, I never left the country. I was basically, oh my gosh, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, Florida. And I think there was like two other states in there. So I'm like Arkansas.
That's so good though.
Alabama. And I never got to really see anything.
Mm.
It was like fly in, drive to a hotel, your job,
try it,
and go leave. To the client.
Yep.
Spend your week in a warehouse, fly home, you know, back and forth, then back and forth. Did you actually get to see and go out and do stuff in these cities?
In some of the cities where I had friends, I made an effort, like Austin, definitely, Dallas, you know, a lot of the East Coast, a lot of the West Coast too, actually, because I lived in Manhattan Beach for a while, which is just in LA. Chicago, I saw a lot of. So, I mean, yeah, I definitely made it a point to, like, if not go at least try some of the nice restaurants and stuff. And then, of course, I made it a point to marry an Australian dude. So, hey, you know, because I want to go to the other side of the world.
Sure.
On a regular basis.
And the point that I'm getting to is by actually traveling to all these cities and experiencing it's very different when you go to California versus Chicago.
Yeah.
And it's very different when you go to, you know, Georgia and you're in the Peachtree Industrial area versus you're up in Minnesota. You know,
yep.
So you've hit these places and you've gone outside, you've gone to other countries and cities. And you talked a little bit about one of your stories having, you know, someone traveling a lot. Mm-hmm. Do you find it easier to write about other cities because you've been to them?
I think sometimes, like I said, it gives you that flavor of authenticity when you can describe things that you've experienced yourself or certain streets that you've been to. Like, I think in one book I was describing like this, I think it was a made up city, but I'd actually been there and I could see. So I think it comes across in my writing, that level of description, when you've actually been there and you can feel the cobblestones and the cracks between them and the grime that's accumulated on them or something like that, you know, just something that viscerally puts the reader there. I love being able to do that. So, you know, with my writing, I want you to be completely immersed. Like, you know, if something bugs you, you're like jerked out of it because you're so involved.
Sure.
And I think like traveling does give me that. I do a lot of research. Like, you know, I use Google like everyone else and look up cities and different monuments and stuff like that. But I find, you know, writing about places I've been to definitely gives it some more flavor, especially when I can talk about people who live there or even food that I've eaten there, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So this year, Mile High Con, are you going all 3 days?
I am going all 3 days, and I'm really excited. I'm excited to see what panels I get on. I'm pretty much, you know, happy to talk about anything. I just love talking books and
sure.
fantasy and science fiction and reading and writing and, you know, meeting new people and chatting about what they love. Especially, you know, I love talking to teenagers, not with any age. I met Connie Willis last year. She was amazing.
She is, yes.
Oh my gosh, she's so great. She and her husband bought me dinner on his birthday. It was just so sweet.
She's hilarious. And I actually I got to moderate a panel with her where we were talking about our favorite genre television shows.
Nice.
And it really turned into Connie Willis Primeval Hour.
Fantastic.
I mean, that's all that she was interested in, and it was hilarious, and she's just such a huge fan of that show.
Right.
Now, I'm curious, you said you do have kids. I don't know their ages. Are they going to be doing the kids track?
So my oldest is, he's 11, 9, and 6. My daughter is 6. I have 2 boys and a girl.
Okay.
Depending on soccer requirements, because they're all in competitive soccer, except for my daughter. She's just doing rec. We have a pretty hectic sports schedule, so sometimes I have to take off on my own.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but I would love for them to do the child track or the teen track.
Yeah, I think it's
teen track.
The child one is Abistrum Academy of Sorcery.
Oh, that
which
sounds
is where
awesome.
They actually role play as I believe Hogwarts.
Dude, he would love that. We went to Harry Potter World, and he got picked in Ollivander's wand shop to do the wand. So he flicked the wand, and the lights flickered and stuff. And I was the idiot mom who did not videotape this.
Oh, no.
So it's in my memory forever. And then he got a Voldemort wand. I'm like, really?
So other than the stuff that you're going to be a part of, obviously, what are you most looking forward to?
At Mile High Con?
Yeah.
I'm most looking forward to connecting with other authors. I had a really fun time last year just talking about books, and I picked up some fantastic titles that I'd never even, you know, seen before. I also like walking through the dealer's room because seeing the artists and some of the stuff that they create. Like, I bought a fantastic pendant that was supposed to bring me sort of just creative energy mm-hmm. from a guy there, and I think it has. You know, nice. I've written a ton of new manuscripts this year, waiting for them to my agent to work some magic on them. But, you know, it was I really enjoyed doing that. And then, of course, meeting all the readers and the fans and the people that come out to nerd out as it would be.
That's awesome. Well, you know, we're actually running out of time. So I wanted to ask you, what's next? What's next for you?
In terms of writing?
Yeah. What are you publishing next? What's the next big thing?
The next book that's coming out, which actually comes out next April, is the sequel to The Almost Girl, which is The Fallen Prince. Mm. And that's also set in that same sort of dual universe. It's like post-Terminator apocalyptic type universe versus our contemporary Earth. And people can, you know, traverse between them. And so that's the sequel to the first book, and that's coming out next year. So I was published with Angry Robot Books, and they got rid of their
Angry Robot.
They got rid of their young adult imprint. Mm-hmm. So it was actually bought by Skyhorse, Sky Pony Press. So they're republishing the first, and then the second one comes out in April.
What's it like being a Jedi and a ninja at the same time?
It's awesome. I can do some sick, like, moves and spin on my head and, you know, wear all black and sneak into places and then bring out my lightsaber and take care of business.
Why don't you tell people your website again and spell it out for them?
Sure. So my website is www.amalie, A-M-A-L-I-E, Howard, HOWARD.com. And you can find out my event schedule, the books that I write, if you guys want to know more, or you can even email me through the site, and I try to respond to every question I receive. So feel free to, you know, lay it on me.
Very cool. And you do social media?
I do. I'm on Facebook / Amalie Howard Author. I'm on Twitter just at Amalie Howard. I'm on Instagram, Pinterest, Google+. They're all just under Amalie Howard.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. This has been a lot of fun.
It has been. It's like talking to my, I can't wait to like hang out with you in October.
Awesome. Yes, I will be there. We have to make that happen.
We shall. Awesome. Thank you for having me, Patrick. This was great.
You're welcome. Thank you for listening to the Hugo Award-winning SF Signal podcast. Your host is Patrick Hester, an author, a blogger, and a functional nerd. His website is www.atfmb.com, which stands for All Things From My Brain. ATFMB is also his Twitter handle and where you can find him on Facebook. Our podcast is available for download every week at sfsignal.com or via iTunes. Look for the links to subscribe in the sidebar at sfsignal.com or search SF Signal in iTunes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please tell your friends and have them tell their friends, and so on, and so on. Visit the Hugo Award-winning sfsignal.com for all of your speculative fiction needs. John D. and the SF Signal regulars offer up new content every day, from weekly mind melds featuring your favorite authors, editors, and artists from the SF and F field, to book reviews, original articles and essays, fiction deals, movie reviews, videos, links and roundup posts, and more. Click the RSS button in the sidebar of your browser to ensure you never miss a post. The SF Signal podcast is powered by the Functional Nerds.
Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Angry robot.
It's like talking to a child.
Magic Wooey.
Wah, wah.
Thinking and crap.
I don't even know what the horseman is.
And scene, you bastard.